Well, good morning, church family. It's the second Sunday now that we haven't had services because of social distancing due to COVID-19 and with the virus going around. It's interesting times. And yeah, I'm missing not being at church. At the same time, it's been good to be at home with my family. I'm still working. I don't know if everybody is able to. I suppose some of you are probably low in work or places you work aren't going right now. But so far, we've been able to keep going with work, and we're very thankful for that. So just wanted to try this podcast idea again. I've been thinking about it, and I just, you know, I had some more things that I wanted to think through and wanted to share, and so hopefully this is something that you will find interesting as well. Something that's on my mind, you know, we've been spending probably more time at home than normal, and I'd say there's a lot of us that are maybe spending a lot more time at home. For us, you know, we were homeschooling, so that's still going on as normal. Work is still going on as normal, and our lives are basically still normal, except the differences are, of course, we haven't been going to church, and also we've not been around family very much, even extended family. Birthday get-togethers and stuff are just on hold right now. We're just more, if we don't have to do something, we don't. Even running to town, we're pretty careful about that. So it's been interesting, but I know that for a lot of you, I think it's been a lot more of a change, especially with if you've been sending your children to school and they're home now. And not only that, it's not vacation. They're still, from what I understand, you still have schoolwork to do. And so that is probably taken up a lot of your time and focus, especially for the moms. And some of you are probably, you know, maybe a few of you are considering homeschooling. I would say, since this is the worst possible way you could be thrown into this idea of homeschooling, most of you are probably like, you know, this is everything I thought it would be, and this is the reason I don't homeschool, and things of that, you know, thoughts like that. I don't blame you if that's where you're at. I think that's where we would be as well, especially as the way it turned out. You know, it happened really quickly in the middle of a year. So I guess I'm just saying, if you feel stressed out about school, give yourself a little bit of room. You should be stressed out. So something that has been on my heart, and I shared a verse with on the GroupMe app about peace. And peace has been a subject that I've been thinking about. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that this morning. You know, when we're staying home a lot, when we're with those that, you know, we're just with spending a lot of time with family, and on top of that, there's stressful things to think about. You know, there's the economy, there's the virus, there's, you know, just even with your own health. One of, you know, the children get a little bit of a bug of some kind, right away it's like twice the deal, because you don't know, what if this is something like, you know, what if this is the coronavirus? And spending a lot of time with, you know, by yourself or with family, and then you have a lot of those thoughts on your mind, is it can bring out different things within us that maybe we didn't even realize were there. And that is just something I want to spend some time talking about. When the disciples were talking with Jesus, Jesus was getting ready to... Hold on, I need to get my phone screen back up. It went off on me. When the disciples were getting, when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, and he was talking about his spirit coming, it was kind of, he was giving the disciples a lot of information. But he said this, and this is the verse that I kind of want to use as a springboard, but it is the one I shared on GroupMe. He said this to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I love that. What's interesting to me, he when he was talking to the disciples, he said there is two things. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that verse, I'd like to apply it to our situation today, where we're at. You know, we're spending a lot of time at home. We have a lot on our mind. Is this verse still true? Are we experiencing God's peace? Or are we experiencing something different? What about for us men as leaders in our home? How is your family handling this? How are you handling this? Are you experiencing God's peace? To where your heart is not troubled or afraid? Or is your family seeing a different side? Are they seeing the effects of stress and the effects of uncertainty? Maybe it's even more than that. Maybe there's, sometimes with our busy lives that we've had, it's the American lifestyle. We keep ourselves, I think, exceptionally busy in our normal life, where there's been people that I think about that seem that stress is affecting them so much, yet they don't even know it's stress. They don't know what's wrong. They don't know what's going on. Their health is suffering, but they don't say that it's stress. They don't even realize they're stressed because it's their normal life has caused stress, but their body has gotten so used to that stress that they don't even recognize it as that. I've even experienced some of that. I feel in my own life where being busy had become such the norm that, as soon as we'd have an open evening, I'd be like, what can we do? Where can we go? We could do something. And I didn't realize that had become a habit. Being busy was such a habit for me that when I was still, I didn't know what to do. I experienced that different times in my life, but I feel that I'm learning the value, the benefits of just being still and just being at home, just being with my family, has so many good benefits, but, we need to be like focused on that and have the big picture in mind for it to be a good thing. Otherwise we could be ready to, pull our hair out, so to speak. And we can, and when we get upset, when we get stressed, when we have stuff on our mind, and we're not dealing well with it, it affects those around us. And in these times, it's going to affect those in our homes right around us. Our children, our wives, our husbands. It's going to affect everyone. Times like this can reveal what's inside our hearts. Is God's peace evident in your life? That's what we'd like to look at a little bit more in depth. So we read John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. And that would mean, like, that would give the idea of roiled water, like turbulent water. Is your heart troubled like that? And it says, neither let it be afraid. That word afraid is an interesting word. It actually means timid. And it's the only place this particular word is used in the New Testament from what I could find. Neither let it be timid. So often when we're afraid of something, we want to shrink back. But look at what is making you afraid. Why are you afraid? And address it head on. So I'd like to look at least two different ways that we can experience God's peace. And these two ways are not necessarily connected at all. They're just two ways that came into my mind that we can use to maybe self-evaluate, you know, in our own life. So the one way that I want to look at is when we're looking at our circumstances around us, when we see the wind and the waves, just like the disciples when they were in the boat and they saw the wind and the waves, what they didn't see was who was really in control of the wind and the waves. They saw the fear. They saw what scared them and they internalized it. It was affecting them. They were like in a panic. But yet God, the creator of all of that, was still in control. They didn't recognize that. They for sure didn't recognize that Jesus was God's son and was able to, you know, keep them safe. And this was all something that he was in control of. And they panicked. What about for us today? When we see those circumstances around us, when we see the uncertainty, do we see an almighty God at work? Or do we see the circumstances for what they, you know, for just as deep as we can see them? Are we just looking at what's happening and just saying, this is, you know, Lord, please keep me safe. Lord, don't let this happen to my family. Lord, you know, what's happening here? And responding out of panic and fear. Can we still experience the peace that God gives, not like the world gives? The world and the peace that it offers peace through our desires. These are just things that I wrote down here. Desires for security, for happiness, for fulfillment, for contentment. And the world, the peace the world offers, you know, those desires that we have is what attracts us to the peace the world offers, our desire for security, for happiness, for fulfillment and contentment. But at best, the world can only distract us from our deep heart wounds, our greatest desires, to be loved and cared for by someone we can totally trust. The peace that God gives is trust-based. It's not based circumstantially. The peace the world gives is totally based on circumstances and security in our physical life. God's peace has nothing to do with that. God's peace is filling our innermost desire. The desire that we have to look past are all of our other desires, you know, that stem from that one desire. We have to look past all of our desires for security, for happiness, for fulfillment, and for contentment. Look past all of that and what the world can offer to fill those. And look at what all those desires are stemming from. And that is from the desire to know God, to be his child, and to actually be able to, you know, even as his child, are we living our life out of the realization, or out of the reality, the fact that we can, you know, God is someone we can totally trust? I think that is what our innermost desire is, to be loved and cared for by someone we can totally trust. And that is what God offers. That's the peace that God offers us. And that's where our heart doesn't have to be troubled. It doesn't have to be roiled. It doesn't have to be afraid. It doesn't have to be timid. We can go forward with confidence because we know who's really in control. You know, even though the devil rages, he's a conquered foe. And the Father that we serve has conquered, was the one that conquered him. And we can totally trust him. He is now in control. His plan on earth, his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That doesn't mean that we're going to have heaven on earth, like some people believe. It doesn't mean we're going to have all of the great things that heaven talks about here. You know, that's not even realistic, because if it would be that way, why would we need to go to heaven? There was a quote that I had read from a very well-known prominent individual that said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And his interpretation of that was that if it's in heaven, then it should be on earth. But that's very misleading and is untrue, that when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, meaning that we're supposed to have heaven on earth. That's not accurate. But what it does mean is that as God, whatever God's will is, that's what happens in heaven. God's will is done in heaven. There's nothing that is done there that's not his will. When Satan was cast out of heaven, sin will no more enter heaven. And so God's total will is in its fullness being accomplished in heaven, but God's will is also being done on earth. His plan is being played out. The difference is there's still sin on earth, and that sin is having a large effect, but it is not going to and is not able to alter God's plan. His plan is being worked out on earth. So that is something, even in the face of this uncertainty, something we can totally trust is that God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can pray the Lord's Prayer as a promise. I like praying it. I feel that's what it is. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom has come, and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day our daily bread. You forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. You lead us not into temptation, but you deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. How I came to learn to pray that prayer as promises rather than questions is because each of those things is already spelled out in Scripture, that God will take care of us. And that doesn't mean that, that's not encouraging a prosperity type of gospel. It's simply saying that God will meet our needs. He'll take care of our business if we take care of his. And it frees us to focus on building his kingdom rather than worrying about the things of the world. So I like that. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are we looking at the things of this world, at the uncertainty, what's going on, and seeing God at work, or are we becoming frightened? Something that I'd like to look at, it may be a little bit of an odd circumstance to associate with this, but nevertheless, I feel it is fitting, and it connected with me. After Jesus rose from the dead, and he had appeared to several people, not the 11 yet, but I'd like to read a little bit about that circumstance. Should be very familiar with the story of when Jesus was walking with two of his disciples. Now, they weren't two of the 12 or of the 11 at this point, after he'd risen from the dead, and Judas had killed himself. So there was 11 left. There was two disciples, but they weren't two of the 11 that had been walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walked with them. And so this had just happened, and when he, and I'll start reading here in the middle of verse 29, Jesus went in to tarry with them, these two men, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And so after that, they immediately rose up, they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, so there were several others with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So these two men were spreading the word that Jesus had risen. They had seen him with their own eyes. And it was almost a miracle that they didn't recognize him at first. Suddenly they recognized him, and then he was gone. And they were excited and were spreading the word, and they went and told the 11. And so I want to begin reading here again in verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. So what's interesting to me is that the disciples were very sad of what had happened, you know, with the crucifixion, and they didn't know what to do with their lives. They were longing to be with their master again. They were discouraged. Maybe they were even struggling with depression. If their setting would have been in today, maybe they'd have been on some medication. Who knows? But they were really wanting Christ. They wanted to be with him again, their master. So when he came and stood in the midst of them, you would think they would have been overcome with emotion and joy at seeing him. And this is something that, yeah, remember, we're talking about, are we seeing God at work around us? Are we recognizing him right around us in the work that's going on, even in the uncertainty, in the tough times? Are we seeing Christ at work, or are we becoming distracted with fear and anxiety? So this was their response. They were not really looking for Christ. They were missing him, but they weren't really looking for him. When he stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you, the peace that he wanted to give them, they responded just the opposite. It says they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They just thought they were seeing things. How often is that our response when we see evidence of Christ, with God at work in the world around us? You know, the world isn't supposed to get better. God's will is being carried out. However, you know, we don't know what his plan is for, in detail, for the world to come to an end. But when we start to see calamity, our natural selves, we get frightened and terrified often. But Jesus said, peace be unto you, to the disciples. They were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He could have been talking to me. He could have been talking to maybe a lot of us. Today, the peace that he gives is just as true, is just as real, and just as effective as the peace that he gave to the disciples before he went to be crucified, when he said, my peace I leave with you. Let me read that verse again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And, you know, at that time, I think he was pointing to the fact that these were going to be very uncertain times for the disciples when he left. But when he did come back and appear before them again after his resurrection, their first response was they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Think of these words for you today in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Think of Jesus asking you this: why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. The next few verses are actually very humorous to me, because it says, for joy they still didn't believe. Like, they just could not wrap their minds around the fact that Jesus actually had risen, even though he had told them numerous times what would happen. Their reality was just not a true reality, what the man they were trusting in was capable of. Even though he had calmed the seas, and they were astonished, he had fed the 5,000, they couldn't believe it. But yet, they still were not able to wrap their minds around the fact that he could rise from the dead and appear before them. And I love what Jesus did next. They couldn't believe that he was there in person. So his next tactic, you could say, or his next response was, well, do you have anything around here to eat? And they gave him a piece of honeycomb and a broiled fish, and he stood there and ate it in front of them. Not because he was hungry, you know, I mean, I don't think. The point was, you don't see a spirit eating food. So there, now you know I'm real. I just love that. Sometimes I think maybe Jesus should do that to me. Just come and take some of my food and eat it. Then maybe I'd be able to see his reality a little bit better. Are you seeing God around you? Or are you just seeing the wind and the waves, the uncertainty and the fear? We can live with God's peace in an uncertain world. That's what his peace was designed for. Not as the world gives. Our hearts don't have to be troubled. They don't have to be afraid, even in the middle of tough, uncertain times. So let's see where we want to go next here. The thing that I want to repeat again, that I think our greatest desire is to be loved and cared for by someone we can totally trust. Often when I think of that, when I think of relationship that God wants to have, my mind is drawn toward earthly relationships and how important, how much of a picture that earthly relationships are of our relationship with God. In fact, often I think my personal relationships that I have, and I'll even bring it closer home and say, especially with my wife and with my children, is actually a picture of the relationship that I have, an actual telltale or picture of the relationship I personally have with the Father. I don't know that that's a total conclusion, but I think it's often an indicator of my relationship with my Heavenly Father. Because, you know, without a relationship with God, without a good, healthy relationship with God, we'll have very few, if any, good, healthy relationships on earth. And if we do have a good, healthy relationship with God, we'll have many good, healthy relationships, I think, especially with our children, our wives, and our husbands, though that's not always the case. Because, you know, on earth, it takes two people to have a relationship. But one thing that I want to focus on is your relationship, your personal relationship with God the Father through Christ. What's coming out of your life because of that relationship? Is God's peace coming into your home and flowing into your relationships because of the peace that he gives? You know, when Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, that was in the same chapter, section, time frame, conversation of when he was talking about sending his Spirit to dwell within our hearts. So that is the, like a spirit of peace. It's God's spirit when he comes and dwells in our hearts, when he poured his spirit out, that is from that spirit. That's where relationship flows with the Father. That's the only way we can have a relationship with him. And that's where his peace comes from. And so I want to challenge you, are you bringing God's peace into your home? So what I want to say is that even if you have God's peace, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have peace in all of your relationships, because it takes two people to have a relationship. But are you doing your part? And the reason I say that is when we're stuck at home and spending a lot of time with family, that can, like I said, either bring out the worst in us or the best. It can make the power of Christ evident in our lives. It can also become very evident that God doesn't have much power in our lives. And so probably there's some of both going on with whoever's listening to this conversation or this podcast. There's going to be some that are experiencing God's peace, others that are not feeling it or not experiencing it. But the one point I do want to stress and drive home today is that you as a person are responsible to bring God's peace into whatever situation you're in. Of our natural selves, and I'm, just even speaking from experience, it's so natural to want to, especially if you're spending a lot of time together and it can be frustrating, you start looking, okay, what's going on? And it's so natural for me to look out at others, to look at my wife, to look at my children, and to just draw various conclusions. And it's probably easy for my wife to do the same, to draw conclusions about, well, why is all the stress, why the pressure, why the frustration, why are we not getting along? But something that I just want to encourage is that you are responsible to experience, God gave his peace. He said, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When that becomes your heart, when that becomes what you seek after, that's all that's required of you. Because then that peace flows through you and into your other relationships. And then as that peace flows into your relationships, then your part is done. And that is, then it's your children or your wife or your husband's responsibility to respond to that. What are they going to do with it? That's up to them. But you concentrate on allowing God's peace to flow through your heart. And the thing is, with God's peace, when God gives his peace, then there's no more reason to blame anyone. When the disciples were in the boat, one of the first things when they were scared with the wind and the waves, the first thing that they told Jesus, they didn't say, help us. They said, carest thou not that we perish? You see how they wanted to place blame somewhere. That's naturally for us. We want to do that. But we don't have to. It's not necessary, but it is very necessary to look at our own hearts. And if we find ourselves in a place like that, cry out to God saying, Lord, save me, for I'm a sinner. And we can even pray that as a Christian. Lord, help me. Restore me back to you. Seek him for your own self. That's the best thing you can do to fix an ugly situation in your home. My heart, my reason for sharing this morning is that, when we have busy lives, one thing that busyness does is it distracts. We can go on to the next thing. We can, you know, make ourselves busy. We can overschedule ourselves. We can be focused on other things. And really, it seems like often we have taught ourselves to do that because we don't want to sit and think. We don't want to. We often, even when we're sitting, we want to be, you know, taking in something, putting something in our head, you know, either food or music or talking of some kind. And those all have their place. They certainly do. But we can't let those things actually distract us when we have real issues that need to be addressed in our personal lives. When we're using those things to simply distract ourselves, then it's, you know, good content is actually a bad thing. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. I encourage you to use this time that if you're not feeling God's peace, to look within your heart, open it up before God, and if it's such a foreign thing, then cry out to God like David did and say, "See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." But pry open that heart before God and ask him to fill it with his peace and stop blaming. That's the biggest thing that I think destroys relationships is blame. And that blame can come from various things. It can come from often from heart wounds, from building walls against failure, against hurt. And sometimes it's been for so long and it's so natural that it's foreign for us to think of any other way of living. But if you're stuck at home and you are feeling that this cannot go on because it's not peaceful at my house, I have to get out, I have to get back to work, I have to do something. Do the hard thing and look at your life, pry open that heart before God and ask him to search it and reveal to you what's inside, and then follow what he says. Regain that peace that you've lost. And the biggest thing is stop blaming and start talking. I can't stress that enough. In fact, even more important than that, maybe stop talking and start listening. You know, I have some experience with, you know, not being able to be quiet long enough to even hear what my wife is trying to tell me. Her heart is hurting. She's struggling. But yet, I just want to blame her because other than that, if I don't blame her, well, then it must be me and I can't go there. I've closed that part. I've closed hurt off because it hurts. And I don't realize that the hurt's not coming from her. It's coming from scars of things that I haven't dealt with, from unforgiveness, from failure. We can cast those at the foot of the cross, and we can truly, truly experience the peace that God wants to leave with us, the peace that he wants to give us, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is God someone you can totally trust? Especially in these uncertain times, it's of all importance to know God to the point where you totally trust him. Then you can experience peace like you perhaps have never experienced before. That's my thoughts for today. May God bless you as you think about that. And thank you for hearing my heart. And again, if for nothing else, it was very good for me to be able to think through this, to read these verses. It was something I want to internalize and ask God to help me to grow through this. God bless you. Hope you have a good Sunday. Hopefully we can have church next Sunday. And in the meantime, continue seeking him. May God's peace be evident in your heart. May you experience it and enjoy your day. Thank you.